Agenda item number 8, Thomas James III.
I think I'd rather have a root canal than go through that again.
We can do it again if you want, Hank. Let's make this simple.
We can do the root canal.
You could do the root canal.
Yeah, that's right. We can do that. We can make that happen.
This one may be just as bad. Thomas James requests authorization to lease approximately 10 acres of oyster planting ground in the Chesapeake Bay north of the Gulf in the Old Town Neck area of Northampton County. The application is protested by an adjacent property owner, and submerged aquatic vegetation is present in the requested area. Location map. The application is about 2.5 miles northwest of the town of Eastville, just north of the Gulf. In the Chesapeake Bay, the controlling depths range from mean low water along the inshore side and approximately 1.5 feet on the ice side. This area in green is the application. These are existing leases. Bottom is mostly sand mix with submerged aquatic vegetation, primarily widgeon grass, with some eelgrass on the offshore side of it. Again, widgeon grass throughout, eelgrass is in this general area out in here, and a little bit into this area. Mouth of the Gulf has a large amount of clam agriculture activity, and there are clam beds on two sides of the proposed lease. There is SAV encroachment in the existing oyster grounds offshore. Mr. James has one oyster ground lease for 4.95 acres right here, and he has in this area he's growing clam aquaculture. We did receive a protest back on September 1st from C.A. Turner, who's the attorney on the behalf of Mr. Marshall Acoff, who has property between the red lines. That's my approximation. Mr. Turner states that the applicant would take Mr. Acoff's entire shoreline and that the ground should not be leased due to the presence of submerged aquatic vegetation and the suitability of SAV. Mr. Turner also has indicated that Mr. Acoff would apply for his riparian oyster ground if the commission approves Mr. James's application. The red line is marking my rendition of the application itself. This is what's being applied for. As you can see in the dark colors, this is submerged aquatic vegetation. This was from 2014, which is the latest photos that were available at VIMS. And you can also see all the clam aquaculture offshore in the middle of SAV. What you see here in pink, I believe is pink, is right here. That's Mr. James's application. Again, you can see all the darkness from the SAV. This area was applied for back in 2013 by Marshall Cox. Staff informed Mr. Cox in that year that there was SAV in the area that he had applied for and that staff would not be able to support his application. VIM stated that the area had a density levels of SAV in the past 4 years varying between less than 10% and up to 40% coverage, and that the area is a productive SAV habitat. Based on this information, Mr. Cox dropped his or withdrew his application. That was in April of 2014. Mr. James applied in April of 2015, 1 year later, for the same area. And these are a series going back to 2007 of the VIMS SAV maps. The area in question starts up here in the north and continues down to approximately in this area. And these are the beds that were offshore of the application in already in existing leases. As you can see in 2004, oh, and by the way, the background is always going to be, the photo is always going to be 2014 photo. So eventually you'll start to see dark areas in here that were not there in the previous years. Again, 10 to 40% coverage in 2014. Same in 13. 2012 shows less than 10% in this area. 2011 shows very little in the area applied for. Again, you can see underneath in the 2014 the darkness. 10 to 40% coverage. 09, 40 to 70. 08, 10 to 40. And lastly, 07, which is 10 to 40%. I'll leave this up. And our recommendation, planting of shellfish in this area would destroy the widgeon grass present and inhibit any SAB restoration. Also, Regulation 20-33530, which authorizes certain shellfish aquaculture structures on lease grounds, states that no new structures, which would include nets, shall be placed on existing stands with submerged aquatic vegetation. Based on the above regulations, staff made an effort not to lease, makes an effort not to lease areas that have some productive SAV habitat. VIMS's SAV maps indicate that there has been submerged aquatic vegetation in the area that Mr. James has applied for 8 of the last 10 years, and their 2014 map indicates that the area is completely covered. Staff, therefore, is unable to support the applicant's request for approximately 10 years in this area, and we're recommending denial. Mr. James is here, and the protestant's attorney is also here. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zeger.
I'm always interested in how these pockets show up in these lease lines. When the other parcels were leased, was that shoreline at the edge of those leases, or did it erode or something? Where do those pockets come from like that?
You mean these, the clam beds?
Yes.
Let me back up.
I guess what my question is when that guy did the clam lease and those big ones there, why didn't he go all the way up to the shore? And what brings it to my mind is was it to the shore, then it eroded and caused a pocket there?
Some of this up in this area where we did the Alpino application was close to the low water mark. This bar has been changing quite a bit. And in a lot of cases, the line was determined by the applicant where they wanted to go. And at that point, this was inshore. It wasn't very deep at the time. We could have probably at least more inside of that.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Mr. Badger, have you had any interaction with MPOs in that area to indicate the same of what you speak of?
I have not. I was on site yesterday morning.
Yes.
Because this is the time of year that SAB starts to die back. And with VIMS's coverage showing almost 100%, 90% here, I was curious to see what it had died back to. It seemed to be about 20 to 25% coverage right now. And it was all what I saw mostly was in
the past. Mr. Crowley.
I've heard reference, I think, in this case and the previous one, to the different types of grasses. Could you give us a quick overview, or maybe VIMS?
VIMS would be more of an expert to give you the different types of field grass versus widgeon grass.
Mr. Vernell.
Bob Vernell, VIMS. We have two primary species in Chesapeake Bay. We have eelgrass, which is Zoster marina, and widgeon grass, which is Rupia maritima. Rupia, their life history is much more ephemeral. They'll come and go. They do serve the same functions as eelgrass, which is more more persistent, per se, normally, such as the Allen's Island group that you saw. The island protects it from the wave energy there, which is why it is persistent. They are very sensitive to that. But during the restoration plans for the bay, those two species were separated from restoration because of the different life histories of each, the persistence versus the non-persistence for that. They both serve much the same functions. Rupia, the widgeon grass, is not as good as a wave attenuator as eelgrass, but it does serve the same functions for larval and juvenile fish habitat. So, one thing I might point out also, for especially maybe some of the newer members who are not aware, the water quality standards for the state of Virginia, there are three primary standards. There's dissolved oxygen, chlorophyll, water clarity. And water clarity specifically for submerged aquatic vegetation in Chesapeake Bay. And because we or the state do not have the resources to measure water clarity everywhere all the time, as it should be, SAB is a surrogate for that when you look at the water quality standards for the state. And we have an impaired waterway in Chesapeake Bay because of those standards are not met in many cases. As you saw as Hank went through the SAV coverages, when clam grounds are placed, when grounds are leased, sometimes they do not have SAV, sometimes SAV invades. From a perspective of a water quality standard where SAV is used as a surrogate for water clarity, the coverage, those are excluded if they are leased, because that the assumption by the state, and this is also in Maryland, is that that is affecting the function of the SAV, and it cannot function as it should if there were no grounds worked there. That's true in a lot of cases. It's not true in some cases. However, those are excluded if they are leased. So that's why you see the mosaics around those clam grounds when they're leased and when they're not, because they are excluded even if there is SAV in there. So just to make you aware of that, part of that from the leasing perspective. One reason the commission has their policy for that. So, Mr. Ballard, I hope I answered your question thoroughly. Or any others?
Thank you, Mr. Furnell. Any other questions from the commission for staff? Mr. James, are you present? Please come forward, sir. Need to swear in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth and nothing but the truth self you got? Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
Thomas Hezekiah James III.
Thank you, Mr. James.
Come before the commission today to hand out to go along with the fight for the application that you see before you. Partly because I've been doing clams for 20 years, and if you'll go through the handouts, you'll see that the bar that Hank spoke of is ever encroaching onto the shoreline, with the first picture being the Google map from 94, you can see that there was almost no bar in any of this leased area. And that's why the line of the Kellum lease and the Arpino lease are where they are, because the bar was further away at the time, as well as there used to be flow that used to go up through neighboring creeks, either up to Mattawamon or Hungers Creek there. In the past 20 years, with the sandbar and down, the cycle time for growing clams has increased. When I started in the 94-95 range, you could get clams up to market in 18 months to 2 years. Now I'm looking at a 3-year grow out for the clams. In addition to that, it originally started out on the lease to the south of where I currently am, leasing from Edward and Timmy Kellum. Edward's demise led to the ground transferring to Timmy and his sister. Timmy was a co-op for was John Howard, now it's Terry Brothers. They've since leased all their ground through the Terrys and asked me to vacate. So I lost half of the ground that I had been leasing. These are my beds here, as well as those. So I didn't have any further room for expansion. And as you flip through the slides, probably the next to last one kind of gives you an indication of how far the sandbar has moved in back from your own SAV maps from 78. The area in red was where that used to all be eelgrass. And, of course, you can see how far the sandbar has moved in. Primarily, it's widging grass. It's very seasonal. This particular year had to be the biggest bloom that I've seen since I've been down there. Widging grass was about knee-deep. Normally, it stays about 6 inches deep, and it generally springs up. And you know, people from VIMS can correct me if I'm wrong, but generally it springs up in April or May, and by September, October, it's gone. And I would suspect probably in another 10 years, the way the sandbar is moving, because it's already further than this, it's probably already encroached another 50 or 60 feet onto my particular lease, which if I figure I had 12 rows, it's already backing up to row 9. I don't have clams all the way that far, but I take it off, and I know that it's moved about 60 feet over this past winter. So in the next 10 years, it's probably going to completely encompass. Arpinas won't have anything that they can grow on, and probably nor will I. So the widging grass and what little eelgrass is still left out there, which really isn't much eelgrass as it was in years past, won't be there either, because the bar is just going to move and wipe over it. So I'm just trying to stay in business as long as I can and expand because of the longer grow out that I'm having to deal with due to the loss of flow coming out of the other creeks and the nutrients coming out of the other creeks and coming past me, because everything that comes out of the Gulf comes out and heads south. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Mr. James, you do realize SAV leasing in SAV areas has been traditionally against our principles at the commission?
Correct. But I would have to say that, I mean, the 20-some years that I've been there, the grass does come and go. You flip through the slides, and where I've made notes on some of your own SAV photographs, they don't have the full color it over, so you can actually physically see what they're saying is less than 10% or 40 to 70% coverage is spotty at best. It should be broken up into more distinct areas. You know, they'll label something 40 to 70% where it's like 100% down here and then light up in other areas. But you can also not make out the clam beds within the grass, because of the vegetation that does grow on the beds, in addition to the habitat that there and the bivalves that I'm putting in the bottom, I get oyster strikes on the gravel bags. So the structures themselves are creating habitat. And my habitat is there year-round, whereas the SAV, the widgeon grass, dies back. So, and that's why you'll see, even at times when there's 0% coverage, he didn't go back as far as, you know, 2006, but you look at the slide for 2006, and you can clearly make out the clam beds, and there's relatively no SAV. And that's not the color of the net. That's the vegetation that grows and feeds off of the effluent from the bivalve. So I'm not saying that the SAV is bad. I'm just saying that, you know, you got to look at the big picture. You don't cut down a forest and just plant back pine trees and say, hey, look at all the good work that I did. You know, you got to have some diversity in there too. This particular piece of property I'm looking for because, as some of you may know, there aren't a whole lot of public ramps on the Eastern Shore. So you've got to get your access to the bay or to the seaside where you can. And if you looked at the big picture, it would look worse than the last one as far as, you know, available ground. You know, every little spot and jib that comes up or somebody thinks that they find on the website, they're running to Hank and asking him to survey it and try to claim it, whether it exists in reality or not. And back to the point, you know, why is that area available now and it wasn't available before? Because before, that was deemed the mean low water mark. I'd actually spoken with Paul Rogers a few years back about leasing the same ground because it would seem that the mean low water mark had moved in. And that was probably the 2011-2012 time frame when there wasn't any, and he went through the steps of what it would take, and I just didn't get off my time parse and apply for it at the time, and somebody else wound up doing it a few years later. But this is, I would say this is a worst-case scenario. And even then, except for the clam beds that are empty, have been dug, you wouldn't know they're there because they mimic the surrounding areas.
Anything else to add, Mr. James? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. James, were you aware in 2013 that Mr. Cox applied for this same area and was denied?
Yes.
You were aware?
Well, I had seen the notification in the post office, and I happened to call Mr. Rogers and ask what was the story behind it.
And you were aware of VMRC's decision at the time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. James. It's a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Please come forward, man.
Good late morning, sir.
Good morning. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Good morning again. My name is Sela Burge. I'm an attorney with the firm of Turner, Turner in Eastville, Virginia. I'm here really to just confirm the earlier protest that we did submit in writing for your review. And upon hearing even further today, the staff's recommendation and explanation, and certainly hearing and understanding the dilemma in which Mr. James finds himself, we would certainly ask for you to follow your existing policy of denying leases where there is such SAV present. Mr. Acup is a Virginia resident, and certainly if that area was eligible, he would be interested in it as well. But as you can see, and as staff has recommended to you, this is not really an appropriate area for a lease because of the heavy amount of SAV there and the suitability for it, as you can see, over time. So we would ask for your denial of the application. Thank you.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
Not to speak specifically to this application, but I do think it's important to note that we most likely are going to be seeing more cases like this. And I do agree with some of the applicant's testimony that widgeon grass in particular and clam beds are not mutually exclusive. You do have both in a lot of scenarios. And it is a transient grass that tends to appear. That being said, that's one of many issues we're looking at here. And I, for one, am not sure we have the science and the testimony yet to support leasing an area like this. But I do think it's something we should look into in the future.
Ms. Erskine.
So I agree with Mr. Ballard's comments, and I would also remind this commission, I don't exactly remember when it was, but we had a public hearing about setting aside SAV areas on the opposite side of the Eastern Shore, I believe it was, and that was over 1,200 acres that we set aside as SAV area. If there's concern, like Mr. James says, about areas being available for leasing and doing aquaculture, which certainly is promoted by the Commonwealth and I believe this commission, We do need to be mindful of these areas are going to become limiting. And that was to, as I recall, protect areas that had SAV in them, but also as a buffer to include other areas that did not currently have SAV in them that could have been leased. So we do need to be a little bit mindful of this potential conflict coming up.
Mr. Tackard.
Yeah, I agree with both commissioners, and I would say that Mr. James has been doing this as long as anyone that on the Eastern Shore. He's done it very successfully, and he was one of the first of the younger crowd to get into this. So I would certainly like to see Mr. James continue his business model. However, the SAV in this area is hard to deny, and we have a policy. I don't like finding ourselves in this position. And I'm, again, very sympathetic to Mr. James. However, we are where we are.
I also would like to echo your comments, Mr. Tankard, here. I am sympathetic to Mr. James here, but the fact of the matter is SAV is important to the Bay. It's important to the Bay's health. It's important to a variety of different juvenile species here. And protecting SAV has been Commission policy, Commonwealth policy for a long time. And now we have a new Chesapeake Bay agreement here for bay cleanup, which stresses SAV restoration to the degree that's possible. So I'm kind of in the same boat with Mr. Tankard here. I'd like to help you out, Mr. James, but in this particular case, the SAV protection is important. Mr. Erskine.
Can I ask Mr. Badger a question? So this area runs at length inshore of those existing leases. And you showed a number of maps from 2007 to present, 2014. Currently, and I understand this is widgeongrass, and it's more transient than eelgrass, and I understand those things, there's none of that area that would be possible without SAV. Okay. All right.
I think, as you can see, in this little area, there's just this little teeny.
Right.
That's probably not even.
It's a sandbar coming down.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, I guess a question: aren't we required to deny this by regulation? I mean, this is the regulation that was read that no new structures, including the nets, are allowed to be. That was in our packet that we already have a regulation that would not allow this. And then I guess the further that would be, if this is true, then could not staff just automatically deny these lease applications where SAV is present?
Well, anyone has the right under the code to petition the commission for a hearing on one of those recommendations. So either way, it would end up before us. Mr. Watkins,
that's a very good point. I think whenever we get an application in, we have to run it through its course of notice and getting it before you. Staff can make the recommendation, as we did in this case, that we couldn't support it and the application may be withdrawn and it goes away. But if the applicant wants to continue with a request before the commission, we bring it before you for a decision. The regulation you're referring to, just for clarification, if I understand what you're talking about there, and the regulation is, that's a regulation that was developed for authorization of structures on existing leases, and it suggests that if you have an existing lease, that when you want to put a structure out there, we recognize there could have been SAV moving to the area, and under that regulation, you're not authorized, or a lessee is not authorized to put new structures on that lease for shellfish aquaculture if it's going to be on SAV. And so that was what that regulation was referring to. It really wasn't referring to whether or not we would lease the area or would have leased the area in the past.
By that regulation, the would not be able to put new structures on his already leased ground?
That's correct. If you have a leased ground and SAV is there and you don't have structures on it, that regulation does not authorize the placement of aquaculture structures on the SAV.
Which could essentially shut down the aquaculture industry.
By that regulation, that's what it sounds like.
Grass comes back and then nobody can put land back in that area.
Thank you. That clarified a lot.
Matters before the commission. Ms. Erskine.
Unfortunately, I understand, Mr. James. This is difficult, you know, and I applaud you for, you know, being a pioneer in the industry and starting this and wishing to expand. Unfortunately, it seems like this may not be the appropriate area. And I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Erskine. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zedra. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Sorry, Mr. James, here, but your application is denied.